Good evening. Not good evening. Good afternoon. I think I'm just...
Good morning.
Good morning. Jeez. My mind is all over the place today.
You can see how technical difficulties can confuse you after a while. 早安大家好. 谢谢你抽空在这个Memorial Weekend 能可以过来。 我还在想说 Memorial Weekend 我应该只有三个人，我可以20分钟就讲完就可以走了。但看起来比我想象的人多一点，那我就是会好好的尽量把今天要讲的主题讲出来。 So today is a Memorial Weekend. I thought no one's going to be here. I thought it's going to be three people show up: me, Joanne, and Fosu, and that's it. But seems like there's more than I thought, so I will try to finish up my lecture today. So today's lecture is titled "Tiger with Wings," and how did I come up with this title? Well, a few months ago, Fosu asked me to give a speech, and I have no idea what to say. So I'm like, all right, I'll just come up with a cool title, and then I come up with content later. So that was the title I came up. Now, I did not make up this title. The reason why I chose this title, Tiger with Wings, is because our Sifu once said in Zen Wisdom, he gave a story about how he and the psychotherapist having some kind of dialogue. And Sifu at one point mentioned that people who are a therapist, meaning a psychotherapist, who incorporates Buddhist teaching is like a tiger with wings. So that's what Sifu said. And 所以今天这个主题叫做如虎添翼。 那为什么我会用这个主题如虎添翼呢? 基本上是因为在师父 有那个他的一本书中叫做那个 Zen Wisdom， 它里面有一段对话是跟心理师跟师父的对话。那他这个对话其中师父就讲到说，那个心理师啊，如果能学到佛法的话，就有如虎添翼。And so I myself is a mental health professional, and I agree very much with what 师父 said today in terms of tiger with wings. 师父 gave a story in the Zen Wisdom. And the story goes that people who have problems often come to him. Like they have problems with children, family, work. They often come to him and ask him for help. And 师父 say he usually doesn't give an answer, individual answer for their individual problem. And the analogy 师父 gave is that imagine those problems are like leeches. There's someone had leech all over their body. So solving the individual problem, it's like taking leech one at a time. One at a time. So the Zen way of dealing with problems is not by taking out leech one at a time, but it's by spreading the salt. So once you spread the salt, all leeches come. That makes sense? Okay. So 我还要再翻译，好。这个最挑战性的就是要中音一直这样子，有点像两个人这样子在讲话。师父在这个 Zen Wisdom 这本书上有一个故事，小故事，他就是说很多信众他们那个有问题啊，有人生的问题，比如说婚姻的问题。 家庭的问题，工作的问题都会来问他。那很多时候师父他说他不帮你解决单独的问题，因为他觉得解决单独的问题不是解决到问题的核心。那他用了一个例子，他这个例子就是说，那个每个我们每个人的问题就有点像水质，那个水质粘在身上很多支，所以婚姻的问题像支水质，工作也像水质，那解决。 一个一个问题这样解决有点像是把水质一支一支拔下来，那这个不是禅的做法，禅的作风不是说一支一支拔下来，而是直接撒盐，你直接撒盐全部一起掉下来，所以这是师父给的一个例子。 Now the reason why I think this is a good analogy is I think as a therapist in modern psychotherapy there are different ways of doing psychotherapy. And I would say there are many two kinds of psychotherapy. The first kind is problem focused. So that's more like taking the leeches out. That's the first type of psychotherapy. The second kind of psychotherapy is more like
The second way, you get to the core of issues. So we call that the depth psychology or depth therapy. So they are mainly, if you look at different schools of Western psychotherapy, there are actually two main approaches. So the second approach is more similar to Zen. You get to the core of issue. Of course, what is that core issue? That's interesting to know, right? 所以这个西方心理学呢，西方的心理治疗跟刚才那个故事也是有关系。 I personally benefit a lot from Buddhist practice because I think, really because of my basic mental health training, I could see some similarities between Western psychology and Eastern Buddhism. The most common attitude I got, usually I'm in the Buddhist community a lot, since I'm junior high probably, that's how long I'm in the Buddhist community. And usually, so I met enough people, and usually the most common attitude I met with Buddhists when they find out you're a mental health professional, the two common attitudes is either, well, actually a three, but let me just make it more dramatic, two. Either they're like, wow, you're a mental health professional. They start to tell you their whole life history. Okay, that's one attitude. Another attitude is very total opposite. Oh, Buddhism is much better than psychologists can do. And I remember one party I went a few months back. I don't even know this guy. The guy's like, oh, you're a psychologist. You know, you guys have a lot of theory that doesn't work. You should study more about Buddhism. Two very common attitudes throughout my life. So I hope that this talk will give you some idea what psychotherapy or psychology. It's not what psychology is about. Psychotherapy is different. Psychology is very complicated. There's some technical difficulties here. Well, while Foss is fixing that, let me just talk about, I didn't even get to the main topic anyway, so let's just continue talk. So我刚才在讲就是说我那个因为我在佛教的那个团体也蛮多年的，就是从其实从我初中开始就一直有在接触佛教团体，庄严寺啊、佛光山啊、慈济啊，其实我都有认识很多，就是有至少跟他们接触很多过。 那当场，那常常人家知道我是那个心理师之后，最长的两个反应，第一个反应就是把你全家的事情全讲给我听，这是第一个反应，就是全家大小从他祖宗十八代开始讲起这样子。然后第二个反应就是，哎，心理师，其实你这个，你知道吗？心理学它是很不完全的，你应该要多学佛法，佛法是最究竟的。 这样，所以其实这是我最常见的两个一个怎么样态度。那我今天讲这个 topic 的用意呢，是希望多介绍点西方的心理学，然后希望呢就是可以让大家稍微了解一下西方心理学，它其实也有它的长处，不是一定说因为这是西方的，或者这是因为这是比较不是佛法的，所以可能对我没什么用。我觉得。 怎么样讲？如果可以了解一些心理学的话，我觉得对学佛应该也是有帮助的。 So I think my goal is to share some my own understanding what psychotherapy can do, and hopefully that will help you to use it and enhance your Buddhist practice. I think both Buddhism and psychotherapy have something in common. And one thing that's in common is really they're interested in the stress of life. Simply put, what is Buddhism? Usually when I explain to my college student what Buddhism is, and usually all my college students are Catholic anyway, so I usually explain the very simple light. I say what Buddhism really is first, there are two points. First point, life can be very challenging and distressful. That's the first point. But that's not the only point, because if that's the only point, thank you very much, life sucks, end of story, right? No, that's not the most important point. But a lot of time when people hear about Buddhism, that's the only point they hear. Oh, life is stressful, thank you. You know, they forget about Buddhism. The more important point is really, although life is distressful, we all have the potential to overcome them. That's the more important point. Not only we overcome them, we can also help others to overcome them. I think that's the more important point that people are missing sometimes with Buddhism. So if you look at Western psychotherapy, that they have some kind of similar goal, because the mental health professionals is to help people to deal with the stress of life. So you have wisdom from the East and you have wisdom from the West. And if you look at similarities, maybe they can help you to understanding what's the strength of my own understanding of distress and what's the strength of their understanding of distress. And they can enhance each other. So, 基本上, I have to translate. What did I just say? 所以我刚才在讲说, 西方的心理治疗跟东方的佛学其实是也是有类似的地方, 因为东方佛法简单的讲, 佛法简单的讲是什么呢? 佛法就是, 第一, 人生有很多的苦恼, 烦恼, 这是第一个重点, 但是这不是最重要的重点, 第二个重点是, 虽然说人生有很多烦恼, 但是我们都有潜力, 可以去面对它, 然后去, 怎么样, 解决它, 这是更重要的一个学佛的态度, 那西方的心理治疗其实也是有类似的态度, 所以西方与东方, 怎么样讲,对付心的烦恼有类似的地方在这里. So what is the similarity between the East and the West? I think one place I think that's very similar is all about the self. I think it doesn't matter if you're looking at from the Eastern Buddhism or Western psychology. When people are stressed out, ultimately it doesn't matter what problem you have. If you trace back, the self will somehow always involve. The self. I think even from a Western psychology point of view, or Eastern Buddhism point of view, I think the sense of self is often involved. And I think one thing that I think that's interesting is by Dogen. Dogen said that to study the way is to study the self. And to study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by all things of the universe. And to be enlightened by all things of the universe is to cast off the body and mind of the self as well as those of others. So that's from Dogen. 所以那个西方，我觉得西方与东方的态度面对烦恼态度有什么相似的地方呢？ 其中一个最相似的地方就是，不管你人生有什么烦恼、什么问题，你如果仔细去看那个问题跟烦恼的背后呢，它通常呢都会跟我有关。那其实这边是一个那个道元禅师他的一个一首诗，这是从《现成公案》，我不知道大家有没有读过道元禅师的《现成公案》。那《现成公案》里面就讲到。 要学佛的话，就是要学习自己。那要学习自己的话，就是要学着去放下自己。那要放下自己的话呢，就是要学着去见证万物。那要见证万物的话呢，要学着让自己与他人身心脱落。所以这个是道元禅师讲的。所以其实你看那个 佛法跟心理学都是对我这个很有兴趣，对我很有兴趣。So, although today is a talk on, supposed to be a Dharma talk, but since I'm really a psychologist, so often my talks end up as psychology anyway. So it's really like 80% psychology, 20% Buddhism, because I assume you all know Buddhism as well as me, so I'm going to focus on something that you might know less. And I think the reason why I want to introduce this kind of stuff to Chan Center is really, I think it's interesting, especially to have some kind of dialogue. I think since you all know Buddhism very well and I know some Western psychology, we can have some kind of dialogue and maybe we can learn from each other. By personality, I'm someone who like to integrate stuff anyway. I think that's my personality. For example, when I was a kid, I started to learn martial art. And in martial arts, there are many different styles of martial art. But in general, there are two types of martial art. First type of martial art, they beat the hell out of you. Okay? The second type of martial art, they defend themselves by beat the hell out of you. Okay? So the first kind is really punching and kicking style. The second style is they take whatever your attacks and use it against you. Right? That's the two. If you look at Chinese Kung Fu, similar. You have Wing Chun, that's what the Bruce Lee practice, and you have Tai Chi, which is a very two different style of martial art. So as a martial artist, that's what I like to do. I like to know one style of martial art, but I also like to know another style of martial art. So I know what's the strength of this martial art, and I know what's the weakness of my own martial art. So even though I would say I'm this martial artist, I would like to know different style of martial art. I think similar with my understanding of Buddhism and psychology. I like to know what Buddhism is, but I also like to know what is it that's different than other school of thoughts. So that might help me to understand Buddhism better. That's the way I understand things. Not everyone like to integrate stuff. But one way I learn faster about some things is actually by looking at the differences between one thing than the other. That makes sense? Yeah, okay. So feel free to chip in once I start to talk. I have been talking, no one chip in. So feel free to have a discussion anytime. So 我刚才在讲说，我其实蛮喜欢就是把不同的理论融合在一起，因为不同的理论可以让我学习到更多这个理论的优点跟缺点在哪里。所以我刚才是用学武的例子，因为我从小就学武，那武术有很多种，那我也是都是会看这个武术的长处跟这个武术的短处，所以有点类似，就是你知道你的长处跟短处的时候，你可以学得更快，可以学得更快。So from here on, my talk will focus on more on what Western psychotherapy focus on. And there are many different schools of psychotherapy, but what I will focus today is something that's very close to my own personal work, something that influenced my work a lot, first of all. And second of all, I think this school of therapy is a lot closer to the Eastern thoughts than other school of therapy. So the school of therapy I'm going to focus on today is existential psychotherapy. How many of you heard that before? Oh, good. So Harry, what's that about? Existential.
I said I heard it. I didn't say it. recognizing you're sort of alone in the universe, and you have to make sense of the world as it appears to
you. Oh, sounds good. Very good. That's a good start. Yes, yes. Existential psychotherapy is really focused on what does it mean to be a person? So I think actually very, very related to the first noble truth, right? Because the first noble truth is telling you what does it mean to be a person. It means life kind of stressed out. Or in other words, life sucks if you don't pay attention to it. Of course, if you practice Buddhism, four noble truths is not absolute truth, right? If it's absolute truth, then you could stop at the first truth and forget about the rest of three. So they're relative, something you reflect on. So, 我今天要讲的主要是存在心理。因为我觉得存在心理是跟我个人的工作比较，我常常会运用到存在心理。 第一，第二，它是我觉得跟东方的佛法还算有类似的地方，所以我可以解释一下西方的存在心理学，然后你可以看看跟禅学有什么相近的地方，还有什么不同的地方可以大家拿出来讨论。So, existential therapy is very interesting. Basically, again, it is focused on what does it mean to be a human in our universe. That's the first thing. What does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to be a human? And as long as you're a human being, I think there are many different questions that you will have in life.Doesn't matter what religion you have, doesn't matter what race you are, and the college you're working is a Catholic college, so I often have conversation with Catholic, nuns, and we also talk about existential issues sometimes. So it's a very, this is something interesting that we all share. So what does it mean to be human? There are some questions that sooner or later in your life, you might want to ask. You might want to ask.Some of the challenges. For example, who am I? Does it matter what religion you are? I'm sure everyone will ask this question sometime in their life. If they don't, I don't know what that means. if they don't, I think that's not good. 所以存在心理学主要在存在心理学主要是在讲什么呢？存在心理学主要是在讨论作为一个人，你人生，只要你是一个人，你一定会面对一些人生，一定会面对一些问题，人生一定会面对一些问题。那而且这些问题呢，它不是会让你快乐的问题，它是会让你紧张的问题，它会让你觉得不安的问题。所以不管你是什么人，不管你是什么种人，不管你是什么不管你是什么国家来的，不管你是什么宗教，这些问题你迟早都会想到，都会问到。So, these questions, not only the big questions in your life, but they also often making people feel unease. There's this sense of unease. There's a sense of uncomfortableness, anxiousness. Here's another question, or something you need to think about. I will die.I will die. No, you don't think so? No. I didn't sign up for this, right? When you were born in this world, right? I didn't think I'm gonna die, but unfortunately, yes, we will die. 所以另外一个问题是死亡。用好听的字眼讲是无常。但是用讲白话一点就是有一天我们都会死掉。那这个死亡的意义是什么？我们一定不管你是什么宗教，你都是也是会去面对这个问题。Here's another one. What does it all mean? What does it all mean? Right? Why am I here? Why are you sitting here right now? What does it mean to work as a teacher, walking around, scolding students? What do I have to kid? What do I have to have kids? Right? What does it all mean in life?所以另外一个问题也是会让人家要深思的是生命的意义。到底生命的意义是什么？Here's another question. Will I die alone? Will I die by myself? Well, you bet. It's kind of hard to hold hands to die together with someone. So you will die alone, but how alone is up to your, karmic affiliation. Some people die alone by themselves, some people die with friends and family around. But ultimately, even friends and family be around with you, you're still gonna die alone, really. No one gonna share that feeling with you. So ultimately, what that means is, there's a sense of loneliness. Doesn't matter how popular you are,In life, we will often have a sense of loneliness in life. 所以另外一个，除了生命的意义外，另外一个很重要的问题我们要面对就是，我是不是孤单的一个人？其实生命本身就是孤单的。你如果去仔细注意的话，不管你人 多么的怎么样讲，你不管你朋友有多少，不管你有多幸福，毕竟人总是会有这个孤单的感觉在，所以这个也是我们要学习去面对的。So here, and do I have more? Yeah. How am I going to get to where I want to be in my life? 人生的方向在哪里？人生的方向在哪里？我到底人生何去何从？ So these are some of the questions or realities that I think you don't have to be a Buddhist or not. You all face. Right. So a good question for you today is, as a Buddhist, how does Buddhism help you to face these questions? Right. So that is something. A pretty pragmatic person by personality. So every time when I learn Buddhism or when I read Buddhist texts, the end of day question for me is always, so how is this going to help me to deal with my financial crisis, or how is this going to help me with my marriage or my friendship? I mean, ultimately, I think as a Buddhist, you have to ask those questions as well, right? I mean, how is this going to be practical for myself and others? So I think as a Buddhist, there are two questions ultimately you need to answer. The first question, who am I? And second question, how are you going to be useful for others? I think ultimately, if you're a Buddhist, you need to think about those two questions, right? Doesn't matter what kind of Buddhist you are, Zen Buddhist, Tibetan Buddhist. Zen Buddhists are not as nice as other Buddhists. You know, Tibetan Buddhism, they're very compassionate, you know, they bow, and the Zen Buddhists always beat the hell out of you. What's this? No. Ha! Right. So, I'm just joking, of course, but I mean, by style-wise, doesn't matter what kind of Buddhist you are, ultimately, you have to answer those questions. Who are you? And how are you going to be more helpful to others? Yeah.
Yes.
Strikes me as being high. I don't mean to cause trouble, but I probably will. But I don't know.
Yes, you are already.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The question, "Who am I?" is, it seems to me, nebulous to the point of, you know, I mean, you understand me? What do you mean, "Who are you?" In what context is that question being asked? I mean, is the answer, "Well, I'm the second son in a family of four children"? Is the answer, "I'm the junior senator from the state of Virginia"? Is the, you know, I mean, what are you talking about? Who am I? I mean, maybe what am I would strike me as being, at least, what am I? That is to say, what does it actually mean to be a human being?
Okay.
That makes a little more, I don't know, that seems to me maybe be a little deeper. In fact, all of these are, there's a sort of, the one that's really concrete is, will I die, or I will die. Mm. That's one I think everybody understands in pretty much the same way. They don't come up with the same answers, but they know what that idea is about. Whereas the others are a little vaguer, you know, so I don't, you know, anyway.
Sure. Thank you for pointing it out. I don't mean to have answers for those questions, by the way, and how your personality is shaped is actually how you approach those questions. So if you would like to ask, what am I? Great. How many of you have think of the question, who am I, in your life so far? Raise your hand. I'm just, and the rest of you never ask? 有多少人想过这个问题？我是谁？ So the who am I question is not a theoretical question. It's a common, what's the word? Common theme that people will confront. It's not the question per se, but something that people will experience. I'm sure.
When people come up with an answer, what's the form of an answer?
Oh, we're not focusing on an answer, we're just focusing on the question. So the problem is not the answer, the problem is the question. You see? So I think, and as far as Western psychology goes, if you look at all different kind of psychopathology, ultimately, they all have something related to existential issues. Doesn't matter your depression, anxiety, OCD, could be anything. Ultimately, somehow they will be related to existential issues. So that's the Western way. So it's not the question per se, so it's not the answer per se, but it's how you pursue the answers can cause you problems, I would say, from the Western point of view. 所以这些刚才那个贝尔菩萨在问说这个问题好像很怎么样很模糊，他好像没有什么答案，我说对没错，这些问题是我们人生大概多多少少都会想到的，但是答案不是问题，是本身你怎么样去寻求这个答案的过程可以变成你的问题。所以我们在临床上，不管忧郁症、恐惧症什么症，最后你如果追根究底的话，很多时候他们问题的背后都会跟这些问题有关。就是你的忧郁症可能是因为不知道你是谁。So for example, someone who is depressed is related to, let's say, who am I? They have no idea who they are. That's the problem. So, or someone who's anyone who suffers from anxiety disorder, anxiety is often related to future, and the symbolic future is death. So in psychology, we say when people feel anxious, somehow it's death related or change related. Okay, death could be symbolic, death could be physical death, death will also be more symbolic, impermanence. Things change. You have this job, now this job is gone. You have $100, tomorrow you only have 50. So there's symbolic death, right? So from those questions, basically there are some basic view from the existential psychology, the basic view on human conditions. So here, from the existential point of view, here are some basic human conditions that we need to manage, or we need to confront. For example, as we mentioned earlier, freedom, that's one condition of life. And I will go over each one in more detail. I'm just give you an outline right now. Freedom is part of the life. And what does freedom mean? We can go over it later. But identity, meaning who you are, how you see yourself, and how you see yourself will affect how you relate to others. Right? So, identity relationship, search for meaning, and learning to face anxiety, which is part of the life. Anxiety is always going to be part of your life. The awareness of death, and most importantly, the capacity of self-awareness. So these are some of the basic conditions I'm going to go over in the next less than an hour. Okay, so in the less than an hour, I'm going to go over some of those issues. Okay, and so 存在心理学它有一些对人生的一些基本观念。那我等一下会一点一点慢慢去解释。那你们可以从就是怎么样可以看一下西方的观点，然后再用你自己学佛的观点来了解这个跟佛法有相应的地方还是没有相应的地方。我觉得有看到相应的地方或没看到没有相应的地方都是好的，因为你至少知道其他文化的观点是什么样的观点，这样也对我们比较有包容性，对我们也比较有包容性。但是最重要的是以存在心理学的角度，存在心理学的角度它是非常注重于知道我们人生的挑战在哪里，然后怎么样运用我们的potential, 就是我们的潜力来面对这些人生的困境。这是存在心理学它最注重的。So, I think existential therapy is very interested in knowing what are the limitations of life,And also how to overcome those limitations is what existential therapy is very interested in. So one of the things I like to start is freedom. Freedom. So what does freedom mean here? So freedom implies that, and this is more from existential point of view, and you can think about whether this is true or not. Freedom implies that we are having the freedom to create who we want to be, how we want our life to be. Do you believe that's true? Not true, right? You're like, hell no. Right? Actually, most people don't think so. They ask people, do you think you have the freedom to change how you feel? No. Okay. But do you have the freedom to change the meaning of your life? You believe so? Okay. How many people welcome that kind of freedom? Do you know? 2. That's good. 3. That's good. You know, when people come to my therapy, you know how many of them welcome that kind of freedom? 0. 0. Freedom is an interesting question for a human being, because especially modern human being. Have you ever heard of a monkey or a bird flying around and say, I don't know what career path should I have, you know? I'm a bird, I don't know what kind of bird I want to be. Do you ever have that kind of problem as a bird or a squirrel? I mean, not really. A squirrel is just collecting nuts, you know. 所以这个自由，大家都很喜欢自由，但是自由的含义其实蛮深远的。譬如说，你有听说过一个鸟会飞来飞去，然后鸟会说：“啊，我的人生到底要往哪里飞呢？我想要当什么样的鸟呢？”你有听过这样子吗？没有吗？ No, you never heard the bird saying they don't have problem doing soul searching, right? You know who's having problem soul searching? I see a lot in college. I work in college. Guess what? A lot of students, when they come in, they're a lost soul. They really, starting from first year freshman, they have no idea what major they want to be in. Second year, still don't know what major they want to be in. Senior, they're in a major, but they're not sure that that's the major they want. I mean, so that's the constant kind of population I deal with, okay? What does freedom mean here? Freedom really means responsibility. If you feel you have the freedom to change how you feel, another way of saying that is means that you are responsible for how you feel. Now, how many of you feel that way now, that you're responsible of how you feel? Yeah? Yeah? And when people are depressed, when they come in, do you think they feel they're responsible of how they feel? No, right? Not really, right? Not really, right? One of my clients, he came to therapy recently because he's very depressed. And the reason why he's very depressed is because his father is very abusive. Now, let's put it this way. When you have an abusive father, it's very hard to have a happy childhood. Okay? And his father is not only very abusive, but very, what's the word, ingenuine. So the father will go home and ask them to be very, very loyal to the family, very loyal. He demands a lot of loyalty in terms of family members. You all should listen to me, and all families should stick together. So if you're going to buy this for yourself, you make sure you buy one for your brother. If you're going to have a girlfriend, make sure you take your family as the center, not your girlfriend or your wife as the center. You heard that kind of story before? Sort of, right? So the conflict, this is a common problem, right? The conflict is between who you should be loyal to, right? For my clients, right? Should I be loyal to family, or should I be loyal to now his wife, right? So that's his conflict, and he feels very sad. The most interesting thing, though, is that his father, although demanded a lot of loyalty, and guess what he has? He has several xiao san, small three. In Chinese, it's called small three, meaning mistress. He has two of them. He has two of them. Not only he had two of them, he has two daughters with each. And my client did not find out until he's within his 30s. And guess what's worse? He thought he's the only one knew, so he tried to protect the secrets from his mother. He tried to be protective of his mother. And one day, his mother's like, oh, you didn't know that? So he was very devastated. He was so sad and angry that he decided to cut himself off from the rest of the family. Now, the reason I'm telling you is this story is when he come in to therapy, do you think he will think that he's responsible for his own depression? Chances are not, right? How many of you feel he should be responsible for his depression? It's not should. Yes, he has to be responsible. Yes, that's correct. Okay, I have to quickly tell that story in Chinese. Okay. 所以我讲自由，自由它的含义是蛮深远。我给一个例子好了啊。我有个个案，就是他是因为忧郁症来到我的那个诊所。那为什么他会忧郁呢？ 因为他的爸爸是非常强势，跟非常的会虐待，也不是虐待，不是身体也会虐待，心理也会虐待，就是非常的强势，会非常的虐待小孩子的这样子。那不止爸爸非常的强势，在家里非常的凶悍，他也。 要求家人都要非常的忠心，对家庭要非常忠心，就是对弟弟妈妈、哥哥、爸爸都要非常的忠心。不管怎么样，胳膊不能往外弯，胳膊不能往外弯。所以我的那个个案，他要跟他女朋友在一起非常痛苦，因为他的家人都希望他不要跟这个女朋友在一起，因为他们都不喜欢他。那为什么？因为我的个案常常会跟 女朋友会出去什么的，然后他们就会说你就是对我们的家不够忠心。那更重要的是呢，这个爸爸虽然说要求家人非常忠心，但是他本身的行为是完全是相反的。他本身是怎么样讲呢？在外面现在台湾很流行犀利人妻嘛，对。 犀利，我不知道大家有听过没有？犀利人其实是台湾的连续剧啊，都是讲小三，那小三是什么？就是小三就是在外面的二奶或是未婚妻情妇，所以他这个爸爸其实在外面有两个情妇，而且不只有两个情妇，还每一个都还有两个女儿。那我这个个案他都玩到二三十岁才三十岁左右才知道他爸爸有两个情妇，听起来很讽刺啊！爸爸教大家要忠心，然后最不忠心的是爸爸。 然后其实人就是这样子，人就是这样子。然后不止，然后我的这个个案他又很，他其实又是很照顾家人的时候，所以他想说不要让哥哥跟姐姐，不要让哥哥跟妈妈知道，他们会很难过的。搞了老半天，原来他们早就知道了，所以他是最后一个蒙在鼓里的人，所以他是最伤心的人，就是他。所以你可以看到，伤心是有时候人伤心是有原因的。 但是所以为什么我会讲这个故事跟这个话题跟自由这个话题有什么关系呢？很多时候人有烦恼的时候，他们会觉得说他们有自由去改变他们的烦恼吗？你觉得？很多时候，你觉得我这个个案他进来找我的时候，他会觉得说他有这个自由去改变他的烦恼吗？ 很多时候他，或是他觉得说，我的烦恼是我自己引起的吗？不会吗？不会。What would be the Buddha's view in terms of vexation? Who's ultimately responsible for it?
On this, but I do think it leads to confusion. If you ask me, am I responsible for my own depression? If you mean by that, is getting out of my own depression that I'm in going to depend primarily on me and what I do? That is to say, whether you get out of this, it's really up to you. You have to do the work, whatever that is, to get out of this problem that you're in. If that, and that's one way that the word responsible is used in English. And as far as that word is concerned, I would say yes, absolutely. That is Buddhistic. Buddhism would say, yeah, you've got to do the work yourself, basically. That's what it comes down to. But you see, when you say, are we responsible? Look, I'm a lawyer, right? That
means
liability. You go to prison. You know, that's what it means.
Yes.
And so that it, at that point, it becomes blaming the victim.
Mm.
I mean, when you tell a guy who's come in and because he had a bad father, you're responsible for your bad father. The guy sits there and says, what do you mean? I was like 2 years old when these things started to happen, and you're blaming me? He's a fully grown adult, but it's my fault, a two-year-old's fault? That just doesn't wash, right? Mm. That's blaming the victim. So now, you know, the Buddhist answer, I mean, the Buddhism, the tough questions are, Is the infant that is born with terrible birth defects responsible for its having been born with terrible birth defects? An infant. Absolutely. What's the answer? The way Buddhism, the traditional Buddhism, explains this kind of thing through the theory of karma and rebirth. That's how it's done. Now, I know modern people, a lot of them have trouble with the idea of karma and rebirth. And so they then have to find some other way to come to grips with this kind of problem, which seems to come out of nowhere. I mean, nobody thinks it makes sense to blame a six-day-old infant for birth defects that the infant has.
And
it's,
I hope
that's ridiculous.
And I hope you think that you think I hope that that's not what you think I meant. Either.
No, I'm just saying, I don't think that's what you meant. I know you, Peter, I know you don't mean it. But I'm telling you, be careful when you use a word like responsible, because you're gonna get answers from all over the place.
Sure.
Which are based on different, you know, the respondents have different ideas of what you mean when you say,
yes.
Are they responsible?
Yes.
So, you gotta be careful. I mean, you know, that's,
sure.
And anyway. So, I mean, what do you tell somebody? I presume that this kid who's got these bad problems, he's not a Buddhist or anything.
No.
So, I mean, you don't sit there and tell him, well, it's karma, right? Because that's like, if he wanted Buddhism, he'd go to talk to a Buddhist person. So what do you say instead of that about bad events that happen to you seemingly without any cause that you can identify? They just come.
So let me just explain further what I mean by freedom. So I don't want to make it too complicated. I'm immigrants. My English is not good. So what I meant by freedom here is, do you think you have the freedom to change your depression? Right? I mean, that's pretty much what I meant here. If you have vexation, do you feel you have the freedom to change your vexation? Now, the problem with our language is dualistic. So sometimes when you say that, people think it's all or none. Think of, like, okay, if your depression is 100%, one question to ask yourself is, how much percent is contributed by me? How much of the depression is contributed by me? I mean, that's just another way of go around this word. But ultimately, one major thing about therapy is when people come in, let's say they're depressed or anxious, a good chunk of time is working on this issue. How much do you think you can do to change how you feel? Ultimately, right? And as a Buddhist, if you don't feel you can change how you feel, you're escaping from freedom. Yeah. Using the Western lingo. Yes.
This is the same thing, like you had made an example earlier about Sufi's approach to problems. Because, you know, you could then
echo.
Say,
I think it goes connect to what you mentioned earlier, what Buddhism is talking about. Like Sifu said, Chan is solving, you know, not solving each lichi, right?
Right.
It's solving the whole issue here. You are establishing the person's confidence in himself to say, I am actually could solve this whole thing myself. you know, actually, by turning the attention to here, other than, oh, it is my father, it is this mistress, it is all that, you can,
yes,
all that is like one instant after another. So I think it's really a brilliant approach, you know, to say, if you could really deal with this, if you feel you are totally 100% freedom to really deal with your issue here, then the problem being solved already, probably 80%.
Yes, thank you. I think, yes, even if you only contribute to 1% of the problem, we still want to look at that 1%. I think that's the, at least from the therapeutic approach. So, I have to translate what Bill said and what you said. Well, 基本上我们刚才在讨论的就是 很多时候人有烦恼的时候，我们都会觉得说烦恼是别人带给我们的，不是我们是没有办法去改变它的。所以所谓的自由，在这边的含义呢，就是你觉得你有没有自由去改变自己的烦恼，你有没有自由去改变自己的烦恼。Actually, according to Eric Fromm, one of the great psychoanalysts, he also wrote a book with D.T. Suzuki on Zen and psychoanalysis. He actually wrote a famous book, Escaping from Freedom. He talked about how most of people do not like freedom in that sense. They actually escape from freedom. And people have different ways of escaping from freedom. So an example of how people escape from freedom is, I naturally am this way because I grew up in a dysfunctional family, for example, right? My life sucks because my family sucks. My life sucks because my genes sucks. My life sucks because... Now, it's funny. I also have Buddhist clients in my therapy work. Buddhism, if you don't practice right, can be used to escape from freedom as well. You know how Buddhism can be used? Karmic, karma. My life sucks because my karma. Okay, that's true. I'm not sure that's the best way to use. I mean, I think the understanding of karma is that what you do now can shape what you do in the future. That's a more optimistic way of using karmic theory. If you're just using karma as a fatalistic way, that's not truly what Buddhism wants to teach you. That's the wrong...
That's an erroneous view of what karma is.
Right.
It's sort of...
All right.
They leave it for three of them.
No, I mean, I you're absolutely right. That's a very common response people have when they hear about what the karma theory is. But it's an erroneous conclusion they're drawing. This person who says, naturally I'm this way because I grew up in a dysfunctional family. If all that person is saying is, you want to know why I have these problems? Well, it's because of my family. I don't have any real problem with that statement. But if you think, if he's implying by this that, and of course there's nothing I can do about it, well then he's made a mistake. He's moved off into the wrong realm, you know, because that's not what karma says. As you say, karma is really forward looking in the sense that the task is, what are you going to do now? That's always the task. And the answer is never nothing. It's totally hopeless. That's never the answer in karma.
I mean,
you know, using that theory, you just have to try to move forward in as positive a way as you can, given the circumstances that you're in.
Mm. Thank you. I think the fatalist karma, the reason why I picked that out, because I remember one survey they did on the Buddhists, it's more common than you think, that the fatalistic version karma.
I know that it's very common. Yeah,
it's very common.
But it is erroneous. I mean, that's certainly Shifu would never have agreed with that.
Yes. You know. So by understanding the concept of freedom will help you to, at least this is what I mean by East and West can sort of somehow work together. By having some good understanding of what freedom means can help you to see how Buddhism can, you could twist the picture a little bit, right? So sometimes people escape from freedom, but sometimes people feel guilty by choosing not to choose. In life, a lot of time people are, for example, one of my grad students, on the one hand she want to graduate, on the other hand she don't want to graduate for family reasons. So guess what she choose not to choose. She got stuck Right? Should I graduate? Should I not graduate? Should I graduate? Should I not graduate? And she's very guilty about it. Very guilty about it. So this is a common theme, again, we see in people's vexations. So these are just some, 所以那个自由它有很多不同的一个怎么样讲, 呈现, 在我们的人生, 有时候自由的呈现在于罪恶感, 有时候我们人生不知道走哪一条路, 我们就哪一条路都不走, 但是你哪一条路都不走的时候, 也会有很深的罪恶感, 很深的罪恶感。 So I'm gonna skip this part. I think we've done enough this topic. So, a lot of time, freedom is also about choice. So people hate it when they don't have choice, but when they do have choice, they don't know what to do with it in life. Have you had friends who go to restaurants that take 15 minutes to pick out what they want to eat?
Yeah.
That says it all, right? And sometimes it's very annoying for me to go to supermarket to buy a cereal. I mean, Jesus, my God, how many brands of cereal do you have? You know, you just end up looking there. It's like you don't know what to pick anymore. So freedom is also, that's another way of talking about responsibility. Freedom gives you choices. Choices give you power, but power, as what Spider-Man's uncle said, greater power comes with greater responsibility. So that's that kind of responsibility you have in life. So therapy, one thing therapy want to encourage people to do is to be authentic. To encourage we be our own choices. We are who we choose. So that's the more philosophical way of thinking. So that's one topic. So as a therapist, my goal for my patient, the one I just talked about, I think one thing I want to help him to do is to recognize how sometimes we allow others to decide for us. And two, we encourage them to take their own step to make differences. So that those are sort of some of the therapeutic goal. And I think that's not, what's the word, that's not incongruent with Buddhist practice either. I think Buddhist practice has a lot of choices, right, in terms of we choose our own karmic route. Right? Whatever we do, you should be fully aware of the intention. So you fully choose what you choose to do, so you shape your karmic path, right? So that's more the Eastern way of looking at things. So here's another popular question. You don't hear the dog ask that question, only human being ask that question, right? A lot of problem in therapy. I think one expertise psychotherapy offer is actually relationships. I remember one time I asked one of our teacher, Fasi, Guo Jun Fasi, actually. I said, Guo Jun Fasi, how you see the differences between East and West approach? Guo Jun Fasi is like, well, in the East, we only have one teacher, but you have like 50 students. So we have to come up ways that can deal with 50 at the same time, but in the West, you do it one at a time. So I think that's the Western way, right? One at a time, I talk to one person at a time. Where the East, you have 50 people meditate at the same time. It's a very different approach, right? And so, who am I is a very interesting question. Who am I is a very interesting question. 这个我到底是谁? 我想我们人生从小到大应该多多少少都会问到这个问题。 The trouble, according to at least the Western approach, is that a lot of time we're so busy trying to become other people's expectations. We become someone else that other people want you to become, that we sort of become stranger to ourselves. That's one of the problems that you can see in our life. 很多时候我们，你如果再看一下人生的烦恼，很多时候人生的烦恼跟这个我有关，怎么样？怎么样有关呢？就是很多时候我们太忙着。 太忙着去怎么样讲，去做一个别人想要我们做的人。我们一直想要去做一个别人要求我们做的人，到一个程度，到什么程度？到我们都已经跟自己快不认识自己的程度了。如果真的是这样，真的是。Sometimes when you do it so badly, you don't even know who you are anymore. Really, you really become a stranger to yourself. I don't know if I mentioned this case. One time I have a case. perfect example of another case is I have a client who's also depressed. By the way, depression and anxiety is like 95% of vexation that you see in clinical work. People usually are sad, angry, depressed. In Chinese, we just call them vexations. All right, I mean, just all vexations. So the reason why she's depressed is she's not happy with who she is. She's not happy with who she is. Okay, that's the main problem. She's not happy with who she is. And why would someone not happy with who she is? Here's the problem. She came to this country with her brother only. Just my client and her older brother. They're immigrants, so they come to this country. And guess what? As immigrants, you have to work very hard. Now, the brother have a dream. The brother's dream is to be an architect. But guess what? As immigrants, you don't get money. You don't have money to go to school. So you need to have money. Yes? The sister decides that she will work to help the brother to go to school. Very good sister. I think so, right? Really very good sister in that sense. But she doesn't have many skills. So what career does she choose? She chooses to be an escort, a professional escort. That's what she chooses to do. So for her, so she basically become a professional escort for many years until her brother graduate from grad school. So when she come to me, it's about the time when her brother graduate from grad school for half a year. And the brother never asked her what kind of job you have that allow you to give me all that money. But as a brother, I'm sure, I mean, if your sister don't have much, only have high school education, and she can give you that much money to go to school, you would wonder, right? But her brother never asked. Her brother never asked. And now her brother, the reason why she's so stressed out is because, can you see why she's so stressed out? Right? In a sense, she lost her purpose. There's no purpose for her anymore. Before, when she's working, at least that she has some kind of purpose. At least she could be someone who she want to be. I'm a sister who's helping my brother. Right, that is the identity she picked up. I'm a good sister who's helping my brother going to school. But now her brother got her school, and her brother's asking her to go back to school. But she doesn't, and she's lost. She's lost in her life. Not only she's lost in her life, she also have a boyfriend who doesn't know what she has, what she did in the past. He has no idea what her job is. She still have the job while she's dating him. Even more interesting is the boyfriend is a very, what's the word? Very sincere Catholic. Okay. He goes to church every Sunday, and he brings her to church every Sunday. So she meets all his friends, who are Christian friends, who are very Christian. Can you see how the question of who am I can be a problem here? Just to give you some kind of idea. So, see, I give you a life example, and as a Buddhist, you can think about, right? As a Buddhist, how can Buddhism help her? Right? Let's make it, after you read Heart Sutra, how would Heart Sutra help her? I mean, this is something you should contemplate, right? I mean, if you want to make Buddhism useful, this is the direction you take then.
I was just saying, where it says people's expectations, isn't it how you interpret and internalize expectations? It's not simply someone thinks that and then you're...
Hello? Yeah, I just said it says people's expectations, and I was just trying to clarify it, that it's really how you internalize what you think people's expectations are. And your own expectations for yourself, but it's not, once again, in terms of being responsible, sort of. It's how you take it in.
Very good, very good. I think that's a very good point. When I say expectations here, it means, yes? Oh, I forgot to translate. Did I translate the last one? My client? Oh my god, that's a long story. Oh, 他是也是很忧郁。那为什么他忧郁呢？是因为他跟他哥哥两个人到美国来，那他哥哥需要读书，所以妹妹去工作供养哥哥读书。但是因为妹妹没有，她只是高中毕业，她为了要有很多钱可以供给哥哥读书，她就去当高级的应招女郎，就是基本上就是妓女了，就是这样子。那供哥哥读书很多年，但是供完书之后，哥哥已经读完书了，他忽然人生没有个目标，没有一个重心，因为他已经不知道他到底是什么。那不只是这样，他的男朋友是一个很虔诚的基督徒，然后他男朋友的朋友都是基督徒，所以他每个礼拜天还要跟着他们去上教会，然后跟一些朋友在一起，然后他要假装另外一个人，他要假装成另外一个人。所以这个我是谁，很多时候你可以知道这个我这个问题在他的人生是一个很大的问题。所以其实 So one of the reason why I gave you this case is that she literally become a stranger to herself. She have to act like this Catholic girlfriend who is very kind and nice, yet she's have no idea who she really is. Right? So the expectation is really both. Expectation from, I mean, it could be pretty right in your face, right? Your mom said, you better get an ID or else I'm going to beat the hell out of you, right? So that's a real expectation, right? But at the same time, we take people's expectation and become part of ourself. In psychology, we call that introjection. So when other people's expectation become part of you, that's where the sense of guilt comes from. You see? That's what guilt feeling really is. I did this, this is wrong. And why is it wrong? Because other people told you that's wrong. But that become you. So we are collecting a lot of people's value, and those collection of values become you. So that's where the self comes from. So another thing that Western psychology want people to have is to have some kind of courage, to have a courage to be, courage to be. We must trust ourselves to search within and find our own answers. The greatest fear for many people, and actually this is related to Buddhism as well, a common fear for many people is to become nobody. They'd rather be somebody than nobody. Of course, to practice Buddhism is really actually to confront this, right? We're actually nobody to start with. But for many common fear, people rather to be somebody than nobody. And when they want to be somebody, the way you approach to be somebody can be problematic. Do you believe that? Right? Some people try to be somebody by making $1 million. That's the way for them to be somebody. Sometimes people want to be somebody by being the worst gang member. That they feel they create certain identity. So to be someone is much better than being no one. That's a common fear for many of us. Okay? So you can see how the practice of Zen can help us to really focus on this issue. Also, not only we scared to be no one, a lot of time part of the fear is that we're really ultimately alone. If you look at our own life, have you ever been in a party where there's so many people yet you feel isolated and lonely? That's a given of life. That's just a given of life. And if you do not know how to confront this given of life, what happened is that we will often relate to other in a different way. We relate to other based on deprivation instead of based on true relationship. Meaning you want to be with other people because they just help you to feel better, not because you truly want to know them. And that's where the Western psychotherapy comes in handy, because a lot of time we have problem in our life is because our relationship is in problem. So learning how to deal with the sense of self also help you to build a healthier relationship with others. Okay. So ultimately the question is, if you cannot be comfortable with yourself, how do you expect others to be comfortable with you? That is a very interesting question. 所以这个以心理学来讲的话，那个除了很多时候我们宁愿很多时候我们最怕的是不知道我们是谁，不知道我们是谁。所以很多时候我们做很多事情， 就是要去证明我们是某某某，我们是某某某，我是个好的妈妈，我是好的丈夫，我是好的亲人。我们做很多事情去证明我们是某某某，因为很多人很常常会怕，不知道我们到底是谁。除了这个怕之外，连带的就是我们很怕孤单。但是人生本来其中一个正常的地方就是孤单，人本来就是会孤单的，人本来就是会孤单的，这是非常正常的。所以如果一个不知道怎么去跟自己孤独相处的人呢，他很难可以跟别人有好的关系，因为你如果跟你自己都处不好的话，你是要怎么跟别人处得好？这个是一个非常一个重要的一个问题。So, yeah, I'm going to skip this one. So, this is just a typical example of how not to, how relationship can be a problem here. Okay? If you do not see yourself well, this is what happened. Okay. Meaning of life. Meaning of life. Some people see their meaning of life as this. That's what Buddhists want to see, right? Or some people see it like this.
Wow.
Going through. Guess what? 95% of time, the people I meet is on the right side instead of the left side. So the nature of my job is very interesting. I think the nature of my job is just seeing a lot of different vexations. Because I get to see a lot of different vexations, I get to contemplate sometime about how would Buddhism be useful. And my job also is to translate. How is it possible to translate Buddhist idea into Western language or everyday language so people can apply it to themselves? So I think existential theory have something similar concept that can be used. So the meaning of life is another challenge. Sooner or later, people will think about what does it mean to live? What does it mean? You know, when's the most common age that people think about the meaning of life? Most common, the average age, I think, people really start to think about. Midlife crisis, right? We hear about midlife crisis, right? What is midlife crisis? You suddenly realize you only have less than half of your life. Not much time. Not much time left. How have you been living your life? Right? Meaning of life. So why am I here? Here's one good question. Without knowing why you're here, sometimes people feel very anxious. And one way we describe that is existential vacuum. There's this feeling of emptiness. That's a common feeling we see in our work. People come into therapy, they're very stressed out. Although they say they're depressed, but if you look in deeper, when you see what's really their problem, is that their problem is, I feel my life is empty. It's like sucked away by a vacuum. 所以很多时候我在我的个案，我的工作有趣的地方就是可以看到很多人生百态，很多不同的烦恼。那这个看到很多不同的烦恼呢，其实就可以看到很多，其实人很多地方是相近的。然后有时候我看到这些烦恼，我都会想说，怎么样佛法可以运用在这些烦恼上？怎么样可以把佛法运用在这些烦恼上？ And,然后其中一个其中另外一个常常看到的问题就是空虚感。不知道人生的方向、人生的意义的时候，人生是非常空虚的，人生非常空虚的。空虚的那种感觉不是真的是很难过，但是不难过其实是很难过，就是一直卡在那边的感觉。So this existential vacuum can make people feel like I'm just another page.Of the book that people just flip quickly through. Very commonly here, you hear that in our clinical work. So, the Western way of looking at things in terms of meaning is that you really can't find meaning directly. Meaning, if you try to keep asking yourself what's the meaning of life, you will never find it. The way you can only find it is by indirectly. And the only way you really can find meaning, at least from the Western approach, is that you have to be engaging. You really have to engage in your life. You have to really make the moment the fullest. If you do not make the fullest of your moment, you really cannot find the meaning of your life. I don't think this is too far away from the Zen approach either. Zen approach asks us to make each second meaningful or useful, where we live the fullest of each moment. Time is precious. I think one thing I learned from Buddhism that's very helpful to me is time is precious. Every time, I remember, you know how we go to retreat, we recite that sutra, but Ru Yu Sao Sui, Ru Sao Sui, yeah, I forget what that's called. You know how we recite in the morning, you know, like fish without water, joy will not last. I actually shared that with my college students, and then some of them were like, man, you Buddhists are like sad. Oh, you know, people don't understand. If people don't understand Buddhism, they will mistaken that. But time is precious. Time is precious. If you use your time well, the meaning will eventually, you will find some kind of meaning eventually on your own. Of course, Dalai Lama gave you an answer already. Dalai Lama said the meaning of life is to be happy. That's his answer. But I'm not sure that would be your answer. You have to search it yourself. You have to search. And I think Sifu also gave us answer to. I remember one time Sifu said the meaning of life is serving. But that's Sifu's answer. You have to find your own. So that's Sifu's answer. So that is another challenge. So finally, a few 10 more minutes. Okay, another 2 more challenges that are commonly seen in therapy is anxiety. People do not like to feel anxious. Unfortunately, anxiousness is part of our life. Okay, people will eventually feel anxious, no matter what. Okay. So our goal is to help people to develop a healthy view of anxiety. A lot of time people come to therapy, it's exactly the reason that they don't have a healthy view of anxiety. For example, people who have panic attacks. Why would people have panic attacks? That's because they do not want to have anxiety. So panic attack is actually a phobia of anxiety. They do not want to have anxiety, so they feel anxious, but because they feel anxious, they really do not want to have anxiety, and when they say, I don't want to have anxiety, that creates more anxiety. So that's what panic attack is. OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, is also another example of how, an extreme example, how people try to control their anxiety to an extent that they come up with so many rituals to control their feeling of anxiousness. So without a healthy view of anxiety, it creates problem. Of course, in the Western approach, anxiety not only viewed as normal, but anxiety can be viewed as a catalyst of helping you to grow. Okay, a catalyst help you to grow more fully. Okay, a lot of time we blunt our anxiety to feel comfortable. We love certainty. That's what people love, certainty. But if you look at life, life is not certain at all. Okay, so we try to feel certain so we feel less anxious, yet life is not certain, so we're living this creative bubble. So that's from the existential point of view. So if we have the courage to face ourselves in life, we may be frightened at times, but we will be able to change. So I think in a Zen way of saying this is, instead of just focus, the anxiety here is really, think of as more negative feelings, a broader way of describing that. Negative feelings in general, I think once a Fasi, what the Fasi say? De Li Chu Jiu Shi Shen Li Chu, Shen Li Chu Jiu Shi De Li Chu. The idea is that the most difficult point is the entry point to Dharma. So I think this has that flavor to it. 所以另外一个人生的挑战就是我们人生其实很多
负面的情绪，尤其是恐惧。人生其实有很多恐惧，那如果你对这个恐惧没有好的一个正确的概念的话，会让人生更多的痛苦。譬如说强迫症，强迫症的人为什么会有强迫症，就是因为他们没办法去面对自己的恐惧，他们就是想尽办法要不让自己变得更恐惧。然后恐慌症也是，恐慌症为什么人会有恐慌症，就是因为他很怕有恐惧的感觉，他越怕就越有恐惧，越有恐惧又会有更多的恐惧，然后他会越怕。所以其实不能面对自己这种人生必有的感觉的时候，会有很多问题。So I would just like to I'm going to skip death because you don't know we're all going to die anyway. So I just want to focus on the last few minutes on what are the goals of Western psychology or Western therapy, and you could see and you could compare how is it similar or different than the Eastern Buddhism. And knowing the differences and similarity can help you to see how you can utilize both to make your life more useful. I think from the Western point of view, the theoretical assumption is that really that we are the authors of our own life. 所以我现在就是顺最后几分钟想讲一下，就是基本上西方心理学它的重点在哪里，那你可以用来跟你自己学佛的一些经验来对比，看一下哪边是有香气，哪边不香气。如果有香气的地方很好，不香气的地方你也可以运用它让你的人生过得更不错。所以其中一个最重要的就是，你如果今天什么都不记得，最重要的就是要记得这个，我们是自己人生的主人翁。这个大概就是以西方的角度来看的话， We are the authors of our own life. So the author here meaning we write our own story. Okay, we write our own story. That is probably the a Western view of human condition. So our goal as a therapist, so if you think about all the cases I just talked about, I talk about what, two, right? Two cases, all depression. My job, one, is to help them to accept the fact that they can do something about their own depression. That's first thing. For some people, it takes a year to get it. For some people, it takes two sessions. Depends, everyone is different. Two, helping people to learn to overcome the crisis in their life. And three, helping them to recognize ways that they can live more fully. A lot of time people are, what's the word? They're not happy because they're not fully living. They're not fully utilizing their life. Right? And four, to be more honest with themselves. Okay? To be more honest with yourself. Who you see yourself and who you act is about the same. Okay? And finally, to broaden the awareness that there's choices in life and helping to search some kind of purpose of their life. So, and also developing a deeper understanding of the self and others. So, an interesting way to think what psychotherapy is psychotherapy is creating a relationship that help people to change. The relationship is a very honest relationship. In general, a lot of time the way we relate to others, we're usually not so honest. Like I have friends who act like idiots, but usually don't tell them, you know, you're like idiots. We usually just say, yeah, you're cool. Right? We're not too honest to people a lot of time. Therapy is an honest relationship. This is a place where if you act like an idiot, your therapist will say, no, you're acting like an idiot. Okay, so give you some kind of more honest answers. So 最后我想要就是讲一下那个西方心理学，它有几个目标。你如果想一下我的个案的话，刚才我讲那些个案，我的目标是有什么呢？第一个就是帮助他知道说他可以去改变，他有那一个自由去改变他的烦恼。第一，第二，他可以有办法去解决他的烦恼。第三，他可以让他的生活过得更充实。第四，对自己要 比较诚实一点，对自己要诚实，就是里外要适宜，里表表里要适宜，表里要适宜。最后就是人生的目标，让他有更多对人生的目标有个概念，然后怎么样再让怎么样多了解自己，然后你越了解自己，你越可以跟别人有一个更好的人际关系。所以这是我想就是今天的重点。So I say this is probably today's topic of the day. I was going to show you a clip from In Treatment. This is an American TV show. I think they did a pretty good job on portraying what a therapist do. But since I can't play it right now, so I'm going to highly recommend you to watch it and, on your own. And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. It's a very difficult topic. Anybody has any questions? You take questions?
Sure.
Yes? Okay, anybody has any questions? 中国我们我们那个啊、讲中文的有没有问题要问的？当好 ，That's it. Yeah.
Oh, no question. Question.
Hold on, please.
如果要结合佛法和这个西方心理学的话，语言会是一个很大的障碍。那你们那个平时心理学上是不是有很多可以通过这个？我有的时候一直想，这个艺术方式是不是也是一种很深的语言？它是可以超越这种语言，这个不同语言之间的界限，能够来表达一些意思。比如说，我们观看一些电影，观看一些一些艺术音乐，或者是一些什么，我觉得这个东西可能会超越这种，因为毕竟语言这个东西是文化的一个长久积累，它可能是一种障碍。
所以你所谓的语言，是因为你是说跟你所谓的语言是说跟心理师本身的语言呢，还是说语言本身是一个
语言本身？就是比如说你要说佛法、因为佛法现在大多数是以中文传播的，然后中文和其他一些语言传播的，不是英文，然后你又需要、而且你又需要用一些非常专业的语言，然后来跟你的那些就是来对那些病人那些就是来访者然后进行交流。
第一，我先解释一下。第一，我们的语言绝对在跟个案的时候绝对不是专业的，就像我现在跟你讲话这样，非常平时的。第二，语言虽然它有它的缺点，但是它还是一个很好的工具。那你讲艺术，它是也是有用在心理治疗上的，就是绘画、音乐、电影欣赏，这些其实都有用在的。但是最后，虽然说我们语言它有它的缺点，但最后我们还是要用语言去沟通。对，所以我应该是这样讲。So the gentleman is asking, because the therapy is based on language, is that the weakness of therapy? Can you use non-verbal ways of helping people to search meaning or dealing with difficulties? So I say yes. Of course, there's non-verbal ways and there are verbal ways. Language is a tool. If you use it right, they're useful. But if you don't use it right, they become a problem. So I would say that's a
Hold on.
Linear linguistic. Yes.
Thank
you. NLP,、
Sorry.
Yes.
就你有没有听过 NLP, 就是中文不知道怎么讲。就哦就它跟好很多一些关就是那个 supposition.、NLP has some like suppositions, I think it's really useful for dealing with a lot of stress, anything. I think it's kind of similar to Buddhist views, a lot of things. So I just wondering if you're like,heard of it or not familiar with NLP thing?
Yes, I heard of it, but it's not used in the mainstream psychotherapy school. It's not the mainstream psychotherapy. It's often used by people who are not trained as a psychologist or a psychotherapist. Here's another thing in the West. In the West, when someone says they're a psychotherapist, anyone can call themselves a psychotherapist. Bill, if you want to go out and say you're a psychotherapist today, you won't get in trouble because there's no law regulating that.Yeah, actually that's in the interesting part. So a lot of time you have NLP, things like that, are carried out by non-trained. I have nothing against the non-trained people, but I have seen harm by the untrained people. So, I mean, NLP could be useful if you use it right. Yes. Yeah.
What is NLP?
Neuro-linguistic programming.
Neuro-linguistic programming.
Okay. Yeah, I heard of it. I kind of know what it is. I don't know enough about it, but I... Huh? Oh. Sure. I'm sure there's many things that's useful, such as NLP. So, what I'm going to say, though, is what NLP has, it's probably already in some of our major theories. That's why it's not in the mainstream psychological treatment. So I would say that. If it's useful for you, hey, use it. I mean, you know, as long as you deal with those issues, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. All right. Thank you.